Welcome to the Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast with your own Desiana Torres. This is a place for humbled, open, and transparent conversations with members of our own community. Here you can find diverse testimonies of the oppression and trauma faced on both individual and community levels. Do you want to validate the suppressed emotions you've never had the opportunity to speak about? Interested in breaking the silence? Then let's validate all that you feel right here, right now on this podcast. Let's go. What's up? Thank y'all so much again for joining in for another episode here on Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast. And today I don't have a special guest, okay? It's just going to be me talking to y'all. I'm actually in the car on my way home from my first girls' night out after having a baby. And it was something that was just really necessary, but also something that I feel is really important for us to, especially as mothers, to take time to invest in ourselves socially, emotionally, like all the things that helps us feel like ourselves is really important to engage in, because you don't know how important it is just to have girl talk again and how much that helps you just cope and express yourself, but also be in the company of people that you really trust, love, and support. So today, I really want to open up and talk about mental health before I close off, because we are starting a new series this coming month about love and the journey towards love, but more so navigating it through toxic and healthy, you know, whether it's dating behaviors or our life experiences or what we witness, like just it's going to entail all that. But for mental health, before I move on to that topic, I really recognize that although this platform does exist for me to help others storytell and share their lives and their perspectives and their life experiences, I am also not utilizing the space for myself to do the same. And so I'm challenging myself to share more of my perspective, more about my life, and open up a lot more and just practice being vulnerable, because there is more to my mental health and to my identity than folks know, or at least I don't let folks in all the way. You know, if you know me, you know me. If you don't, you don't. If you read my book, then you know a lot about my life experiences that have definitely impacted my mental health. But if you've only read the book, there's still more layers, you know, that are deeper than that. And so what I want to really open up about today is about my mental health and the mental, I guess, the things that I struggle with mentally and how that can impact, you know, episodes of depression or anxiety and things of that sense. So if you know me, you know that growing up, I was raised, I was conceived by teen parents, a father who already had a daughter at the age of 15. And my mother and my father had me when they were 17. And so when you are born to teen parents, there are some benefits and then there are also some kind of consequences that you experience as a child to teen parents. Some of the consequences are more so like having to cope and grow up with your parents at the same time, because they're also so young and they're still learning about themselves and still trying to figure out the world and their identity. You know, I feel like the years of like under 30 are so critical to how we self-identify in the world. And so I was raised with parents who were trying to figure themselves out, some of them still overcoming their own traumas, some of them wanting to break the generational curse that exists, but also not having the resources or support to really navigate that. So I believe that's why it fell all on me as the oldest of my family to figure this shit out for us. And that pressure that I held was more so that my family can be able to experience that peace that we probably haven't had for like many bloodlines. And I say that to say that the shit that I've been through was a lot. You know, I've witnessed my parents experience a very domestic, violence-filled relationship. I've had struggles, especially as a young girl, with my mother struggling with suicide ideation because of the pressures of being a single parent were heavy. And also my father, who was dealing with his own mental health and not coping in the healthiest ways, and how that impacted our household, were things that really changed the way I see the world. And so, like, when I talk to people and I'm like, was there a moment that you recognize that you're no longer a child, you know, like, that the moment, that the life that you are experiencing is now in the lens of an adult, even though you are still a child, but you have to navigate the world differently? That was me. And as the oldest, especially with a mother who was a single parent, I really, really have to step my game up and be that support system for my mother, or else we were gonna drown. Like, literally, my family was not gonna make it if I wasn't there to support. And we did have the support of my aunties, which I really appreciate, and then also from my grandma too, my sugar mama, who stepped in to really care for us when my mother couldn't. But when we were home, that pressure was all on me: how to cook, how to clean, how to help with homework, take the kids a bath, like, how to regulate, problem solve. And, you know, my mom was, you know, someone who was always at work. So when she's not at work and I'm home by myself with the kids, do you know how hard it is to help raise kids, especially as a kid yourself? Like, that shit is hard, especially when these kids, they be bad. Like, my siblings, y'all, I love them to death, but they was badasses. So I was one who, you know, would try to discipline, and they'd be like, nah, sister, like, nope, you ain't my mama, we not listening to you. Like, it was always that kind of attitude, and that's hard when you're like, I'm just trying to fucking help. Like, I don't even want to be here to be helping in this way, but I got to for y'all survival, so don't make it so hard on me, you know? But as kids, they don't have that perspective, and I think that's why it was so tough, because I've always wanted to kind of sugarcoat the reality that we lived in, because although I witnessed a lot of it, and although I was the one in my bloodline that had the most experience with the domestic violence and with the suicide ideation, I struggled a lot with wanting to live myself. Like, I've had my mother who attempted suicide, and I was the one to kind of help her overcome that by accident, just by catching her almost in the act. And then my father, who always threatened suicide ideation, or always threatened to commit suicide when life got hard, you know, suicide was just something that was just always relevant in my life. And I want folks to know that, like, at the age of 14, like, I actually attempted suicide myself. I was tired. I was exhausted. I was a child who had emotional needs, who had experienced trauma herself, but yet had no one to provide that support to me. No therapist. Like, my family, we just went to church and prayed. And if you are in the mental health field, you know that that does help to some extent, but there's still some work that needs to be done to help us learn how to cope. And I didn't have that experience. And so here I am navigating the world. And when I attempted suicide, there was an experience where I almost had, like, that epiphany moment, that moment of, like, damn, like, I actually want to live. I never wanted to live more than after I wanted to die. And I just wanted to highlight that, because I felt like suicide ideation is so prevalent in our world today. There's so many people and kids struggling with suicide, the attempts, the thought. You know, our world is just going through so much, and everyone is hurting. So if you're listening to this and you're there, like, just know, like, I feel you, I hear you, I see you. I'm sending out so many hugs and virtual support if I can, because I know that you're not the only person that's thought about it or has experienced those struggles, because we as a society have navigated in that direction to where we are struggling so much. We just, you just want peace so bad. So I do want folks to know, like, it does get better. Like, it does get better. And I know, although it's hard, like, don't allow yourself to convince yourself that life isn't worth living, because there are going to be moments and life experiences that do come along, and it's going to remind you why it's important to hang in there. And so with all the life experiences that I had, especially navigating, like, domestic violence and then witnessing that, I personally ended up dating and mimicking the same thing I witnessed growing up. So I got into a toxic relationship, one that was physically abusive, sexually abusive, like verbally, like all of that. And I really lost myself in that. And, you know, dating a narcissist, when they blame it on you and kind of like guilt trip you all the time and gaslight you, like you convince yourself that you're the problem. And I guess that's how I grew up all the time, because I was the child that had a mouth on her. I was someone who was never afraid to speak up and tell it like it is. If you know me, you know I don't sugarcoat shit. I call it out. And it's not that I do it intentionally to hurt people's feelings, but like sometimes things need to be said, and I feel like I'm always that person to try to say it to help people come to tune and grow and learn and hold themselves accountable. So that doesn't always come with benefits, as like people start to see you as a problem child for it. You know, you always trying to challenge and call out stuff in the family and the household that's not right. They're going to look upon you as like the black sheep. And I really do feel like I've become that in my reality today, especially with like some folks from my dad's side, especially after writing my book. Folks just wasn't really in the family. They had called and were like, you know, you're talking about things that are supposed to stay in the household. What happens in a house stays in a house. And with that perception, I've carried a tremendous amount of guilt around telling my story and being vulnerable, because it comes at the cost of other people not feeling good about themselves. And when you're an empath, you don't want people to not feel good about themselves. So I want to say that I started to struggle a lot with depression. There were moments where you almost just want to not really be vulnerable. You try to fill yourself up with fear and shame about speaking up, and I don't want that to be people's reality, because the truth of the matter is that when you tell your story, it's far more powerful than it is scary or impactful. Or, you know, if I'm gonna be the black sheep, at least I'm a black sheep where folks are reading my book and finding healing and being in tune and finding themselves in the self-love journey. So, but depression is hard. My depression, everybody's depression looks different. I think people think that depression all looks the same, and that's not true. For me, depression looks like me moving on robot mode. I'm like almost on autopilot where I'm here, but I'm not really here. And I'm not taking care of myself. Like, I'm not drinking my tea. I'm not taking my vitamins. Like, it's stuff like that. And sometimes I stay in bed longer. Or here's another one, especially with modern day, like, technology, is I scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll on my phone. Like, I could be lost on TikTok for as much as I could until, you know, I have my responsibilities or my son cries or something like that. But navigating mental health has become, especially when you have all these other roles, it's become almost impossible. It feels that way. I'm not saying it is, but it feels impossible. How can I manage my mental health when I fucking have all this shit I gotta do? I gotta do laundry. I gotta wash the dishes. Like, there's so much that we have to push for. So it's almost like, do I give myself that time to really engage in that? Or do I just continue to be sad? And most times I'm just going to continue to be sad. So I think what's been really helpful for me in my mental health is like having to go back and do the shadow work. And people are probably like, what's the shadow work? Like, what are you talking about? So many of us have a version of ourselves that we call the shadow. It's the part of ourselves that is also true and does exist, but at the same time, like, you hide that part of yourself from everybody because of the shame and the guilt that is carried on with it. And the shadow work is when you actually start taking the time to process the shit you've been through, like from childhood, maybe relationships, maybe grief, maybe you've lost folks in your life and you still have not really overcome what that felt like, or not really having that person physically here on earth with us. There's so many just life inconveniences that we go through that can trigger, impact the way that we exist in the world today. And in my life, things that have altered my mental health have been suicide when I attempted, my family members struggling with suicide ideation, so trying to like find the strength to be strong for everybody because you see everybody around you struggling. That's another thing. having to also experience toxic love and dating a narcissist who just literally transforms your whole view of how you view yourself. And that kind of submission really takes a while to kind of fight back and get back. And so that was another thing. I'm also thinking about the time where, you know, sometimes our mental health is impacted by our environment and where we live. And so being raised in East Oakland in the Bay Area, like, I've also witnessed murders and robberies and fights and, like, violence. And I really thought that shit was normal, y'all. I really thought that the way I was living was the way everybody lives until I started really going to college and learning about all these terminologies that explain the way that we live in the hood. And you're almost confused, like, so y'all been fucking doing research on us all this time, y'all know what's going on and nothing's being done. So that's why it starts to seem hella intentional. And when it came to realizing the way that the world works in the lens of my own, of me seeing my family members struggle, me seeing my community struggle, and seeing that folks are missing, like, there are barriers to help us really process and deal with our mental health so that we can have that chance and opportunity to really function outside of survival mode. But then you don't really see how that could be possible. Like, if you especially are somebody in your family who doesn't have that opportunity or privilege to have access to a therapist or have support groups that you can join, like, when you don't have any of that support, you really just function on survival mode because that's what's normal for your family. So then it becomes what's normal for you. And so when it comes to me particularly, well, folks, if somebody was to ask me, like, how's your mental health now? I can say it's definitely a lot better. What helps, and something that I really recommend for folks, is to become self-aware of your triggers. And because triggers really unlock areas that still need a little bit more healing. And I think that's okay to process and to come in tune with. It's like, damn, if something like this keeps triggering me, then clearly I need help in this department. For me, it could be relationships, because I've been done so wrong so many fucking times that, like, when you start to experience a healthy love, it just doesn't feel safe. And I think people don't talk about that. So, like, how does that impact your mental health? Sometimes it can build insecurities. And then when you have insecurities, obviously that impacts your partner if you're constantly just not allowing them to prove to you that they're trustworthy. Not that they have to, but, I mean, unless they did something, they got to. And so my mental health now is stable. I'm not the best I've ever been, and I'm not the worst I've ever been, but I'm stable. I'm okay. I'm at a place where if I start to fall off, I'm self-aware, and I know how to start being intentional with how I navigate the world and creating boundaries to help give myself that time and space to really, like, tune back into myself. And I think there's a misconception that I really want to tackle on before I close off. This is going to be a short episode. But there's people who could look at my Instagram page and assume that I have it all together. And I want to use this space and time and opportunity and privilege to be able to say, I do not have nothing all the way figured out, y'all. Like, I'm a human being myself who is still trying to process and understand life as it continues to move and navigate and change and look different. Like, I'm still trying to figure shit out myself. I think I publicly showcase my struggles with postpartum depression in the same ways that I showcase the ways that I try to cope, which is like being outside. When I go outside and I get out of my house, my bubble, then I'm able to experience the world. And when I experience the world, I'm not depressed. And so I think folks see that, like, oh, she's always out. She's at the beach, or she's taking her son here. Like, I kind of have to do that for my mental health. Like, I have to get out the fucking house, or else I'm going to go crazy, lost in my thoughts. Being intentional with how I speak to myself, because I am someone who struggles so much with negative self-talk. And I'm someone who's always speaking life to people, but how can you be speaking life to people and be struggling yourself? Because I'm human. And I've always had this voice in my head that I don't, like, it's the voice in my head that is so negative. Yeah, it's my own, but it's also mimicking the voices of other people who have installed their fear into me, or told me that I was never going to be shit in life, or judged me for my heart and how big it is. Like, all that. And when I get to places of where I want to be creative and really push on my dreams and my goals, I have to fight past that negative self-talk. And I know a lot of people struggle with that, because especially the way that our world is going and moving in society, is it convinces us that we're supposed to have it all together. And people who Instagram pages look like that, please don't believe it, y'all. Instagram's not real. It's not. And so don't let it convince you that, oh, because this person has it all together, that you're supposed to have it all that same way, because it doesn't work like that. I think the more honest we are about our life struggles and where we are, the better that we can navigate outside of it. And so what really pushed me to get involved in mental health, especially wanting to go get my master's in social work, is I needed to know that my future for my kids was going to be better than what I experienced. That was my motivation. I know what it felt like to be raised the way I was raised, and it fucking sucked. That shit sucked. I'm still healing from some of the shit I've been through in my life. And I think I wanted to understand how healing worked, how to get connection to resources, like all these things that my family did not have access to, is something that was very important for me to figure out. And when it comes to, you know, being a community healer and being a life coach and having experience being a therapist, I've come to understand that healing is not universal. There isn't a one size fits all when it comes to healing. The ways that we all heal are different. I feel like how intentional we have to be and how disciplined we have to be to do the work is what helps us reach that level of healing, or that level of overcoming certain triggers like we want to. So the best advice that I can give to folks, especially, like, I'm just going to share what happens, what works for me. And if you feel that it could work for you, if you want to try it out for yourself, good. If you don't, that's good too. Like, if you know yourself, you know what works for you, that's even better. Like, I really applaud that. So for me, when I struggle a lot with negative self-talk, I have to write down affirmations on a piece of paper that really connect to me and that really connect to myself, that I'm like, okay, I could benefit from hearing this more often. And I write them down on a piece of paper, and I color code it. I draw hearts and flowers. Like, I decorate it in a way that I'm like, this is fire. Like, this is dope. I would want to look at this all the time. And for me, I normally paste it in my bathroom where I read it every day when I brush my teeth. Like, sometimes I read it mentally in my head, but then after I brush my teeth, I have to say it out loud. Like, I have to force myself to say it out loud, because sometimes just saying it in your head isn't good enough. It's not going to make that big impact like I'm looking for. And being repetitive with that is what counters the negative self-talk. So it's like, you have to push yourself to do something that's going to help counter that. You have to replace it with something. And I think we just have to just stop talking negative, but I don't think that happens. You just, when it happens, you just got to know how to navigate it differently. And so, yeah, so that's something that works for me. Another thing is, I have these little rocks, and the rocks have like different little affirmations on it, or words on it. There's like strength, hope, love, dream, heal, forgive, like all these different words. Y'all, I'm pretty sure y'all know what rocks I'm talking about. Y'all probably seen them before. But I have to be like real creative with activities I create for myself. It's almost like childlike is what I'm trying to do, is really catch my inner child up to where I am now, and helping her feel safe so that I can feel safe in my own existence. So with those rocks, what I do is I try to pick a rock randomly. I close my eyes and I just run my hand across all the rocks, until my body's like, okay, this one right here, pick this one. And so whatever one I pick up, that's my goal for the day. So if I pick up one that says hope, then my goal is to really push to restoring my hope or being in tune with hope that day. Or another one could be forgiveness. And I'm like, okay, I got to work on my forgiveness. Who am I struggling to forgive right now? And then I start really processing that. Why are you struggling to forgive with them? Well, how did they make you feel? And so when it comes to our mental health, we just got to create space for ourselves to feel what we feel, to talk about what we're going through. Because we live in a society, in a world that's always on this go, 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 go. You have to keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop. If you stop, you're going to miss out. And moving and navigating that way is horrible for our mental health because you don't give yourself time to feel. And if you don't give yourself time to feel, then you're going to carry all that with you everywhere you go, and it becomes harder to navigate from. And so I say all this to say that mental health is important. So many of us are struggling with undiagnosed disorders, and we think we're just crazy. We think we're just not good enough. Like, in reality, we're just really struggling with some things mentally, and if we knew what it was, we would know how to help ourselves better. And so there are some folks who struggle with wanting to go to therapy because, why am I going to talk to somebody? Like, you know, I'm from the hood, so folks in the hood, that's not something we do. We don't just open up to people because we struggle with trust. And me noticing that allowed for me to create my podcast, because I'm like, okay, while that too can be true, that it's hard for us to open up to people, I still want there to be a space where we can all come to and talk and really release some of the things that we're going through in life, so that we can create, number one, space for validation, space for people to be like, damn, you too, like, I'm going through that shit too, like, I can't believe I'm not the only one. And also space for healing, because then we get to process what we've been through, and then we get to try to remove the emotion that's attached to that trigger, because you can always be triggered about something, but the emotion doesn't always have to be attached to it. And I think when there is emotion still connected to it is when we recognize, like, okay, I still gotta heal from this. And so, yeah, your girl's just coming on here to let y'all know that I go through shit too, okay? I don't want folks to look at me and be like, she has it all together. Like, I'm admired by that, but shit, if that's what y'all think, then I'm false advertising myself, because I don't have it all together. I still struggle with overcoming fear when it comes to my big projects, like releasing my podcast, even this episode. Do you know how long I've been wanting to do an episode by myself, but I couldn't get myself to do it, because every time I tried, I just ran for myself. It felt too scary, too vulnerable. And here I am talking to y'all, and it's been like 20 something minutes already, and I can't get myself to shut up. And when it comes to our mental health, it does convince us that we're not worth a try. And I just want to, I just want to let folks know to challenge that a little more. If you're in a headspace where, like, you feel so negative about yourself, I want you to transform what you listen to. I want you to transform what you eat. Like, all the things we put into our body really does impact the way that we feel. And if you want to detox, if you want to, instead of listening to music, which I love music, so sometimes music can be really validating to the way that we identify with ourselves. Like, when I'm mad, shit, Keisha Cole about to come right on. I could be mad at my man for, like, the littlest thing, like, baby, you didn't give me a hug when I left, or, like, I don't know, I'd be mad over little shit. But I'll go in the car and listen to Keisha Cole like he cheated or something. And it's like, girl, this man did not do nothing like that. But those songs would, like, take me back to a place where I was cheated on. And then I get caught up in those emotions. So that's why sometimes what we watch, what we consume mentally, can really impact our mental health. Like, my man loves watching scary movies. And, you know, he don't have no limit to what he watches. Whereas me, I don't like watching shit that's too violent or too triggering about certain things. And so when it comes to those scenes, I watch the movie, but when it comes to those specific scenes, I will literally close my eyes or turn my head away from it, because so many folks think it's normal to be so desensitized, and it's not. Like, growing up in the hood already desensitized me so much, to the point where I don't want to be desensitized anymore. And I don't think that's normal for us to always be triggered or always witnessing shit that goes on in the world because, yeah, I don't know. That's just my opinion, though. If you fuck with it, you like watching stuff like that all the time, good for you. Like, you like it. I love it. But that's just not how I am as a person. Like, I need to know that I don't want to trigger myself. I just know I don't want to trigger myself. So I don't do it. So listening to good music instead of like listening to, I mean, if you're gonna listen to music, maybe listening to a playlist. There's one on Spotify and Apple. It's called I'm Thriving. I don't remember who it's by, but I know that they have a bunch of affirmations on there that really allow for you to like speak that life into yourself. That has really helped me transform my mental health, as well as listening to podcasts about specific topics of things that I'm going through. Like, just listening to people talk, it's really helpful to have people be like, damn, like, or have folks be like, she understands or she gets it, because that validation is sometimes all we need. Sometimes you don't even want people to give you an answer to some shit. Sometimes you just want people to listen. You're like, I just want to splur all this out, and you don't even want a response. I just made a home. I'm about to go inside with my baby, but I am going to do this more, and I probably was just all over the place, but that's okay, because those of you who are with me, you are with me, and I appreciate you so much. But I'm going to close off this episode, and thank you so much for tuning in with me again, and please stay tuned, because I'm really going to open up about, when it comes to the love, y'all, I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to share all the experiences I had in all my relationships, because I feel like it's going to give people a better understanding of why I'm so blessed to be where I am now, to experience such a healthy love with somebody who I love, admire, and respects me, makes me feel safe. And I want folks to know that you can have the same, especially if you're experiencing or had experience of toxic relationships, because sometimes that shit takes hella long to overcome and heal. And I don't want y'all to assume that you're unworthy of being loved, because you are worthy of being loved, and you are love yourself, and love exists in you and through you, and that's such a beautiful thing for us to always be connected to. So yeah, I love y'all. I hope y'all are really being intentional with your existence today. If y'all struggling mentally, please know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And don't give up. I know that we are all feeling alone in our own journeys and our own mental health struggles. But every day that we just show up and do our best, even if it's just brushing your teeth that day and not doing shit. Like, you brush your teeth. Celebrate that. That's a small victory. That's a small win. Every movement helps us keep moving forward. No matter how big the step is. No matter how small the step is. Like, movement is movement. And that's beneficial for our mental health. So I'm sending so much love, peace, and joy to everybody, and hope y'all all have a blessed and safe night. Bye, y'all.
Thank you again for tuning in with my podcast, Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on your notifications for future episodes that will be full of authentic storytelling by members of our own community. You can find me on Instagram at CONFI_DEZ. If you haven't already gotten your copy of my poetry book titled The Becoming of Her, be sure to get yours today. We forget that reading is just as reflective and powerful. I'm sending lots of love and peace and light to you all. May we continue to heal ourselves and each other every day.